It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, Scotty Johnny himself, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's happening, man?
Not a great deal here. Things are pretty calm now. Feeling pretty good. I feel it was a good weekend, generally speaking. How have you been?
Good. It was good for about six quarters of football for me. And of course I had drill this weekend with a dining out. So I had to squeeze myself into my class A's and go out on the town. It was great.
You were in blues?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Awesome. Looking so good.
I got to wear my DeFleury medal though. So that's always fun. It's my engineer regimental medal. So,
Man.
Yeah. I was the only one with a special medal. So that made me stick out. That was cool.
I have the Humanitarian Service Medal, which is the worst looking medal, because the actual medal, while it has on the metal part of it, is a hand that looks like it's reaching out. Just a hand. It's not exactly awe-inspiring or whatever, but it's actually one of the ones that, well, it's a cool medal to get, but I got it for cleaning up the base after we sat through Hurricane Katrina. I mean, like, I didn't leave the base. They wouldn't let us. And when we volunteered to leave the base, all that happened is the commander of the base said, "Oh, we got soldiers volunteering. Let's make them clean ranges." And then I unvolunteered all of my soldiers because the alternative was a day off. They were trying to take a day to go volunteer cleaning up for the cadre who were training us, whose homes are outside the base. And we said, "We got a day of no training. Let's go see if we can help out the guys there." And they said, "That's an awesome idea. Thank you. We appreciate it." And the base commander said, "That's awesome. Let's make them clean ranges." And we said, "We unvolunteer if that's the garbage you're going to do. I'll just give my guys a day off."
The highlight of my military career is that I've never stepped foot on Camp Shelby. Not once.
Camp Shelby is garbage.
Hello, Mississippi. How you doing?
I don't mind Mississippi. Camp Shelby is hot garbage.
No, I mind Mississippi.
It was in Hattiesburg, just outside of Camp Shelby. Hattiesburg was, before the hurricane, very good. After the hurricane, it was obviously not. But it's a great city. It's a nice city. Good college town and all that.
And we're after a roaring start here.
Yeah, we've talked about hurricanes. This is going to get everybody going. And the Army. Things that people love.
What bowl game are the Hurricanes in?
Sorry. I don't think. they were 6-6, so I don't know. Anyhow, you can follow this show on Twitter at ScottyJohnnyPod. You can follow me on Twitter at NotSoHumbleHost. And Aaron, I imagine people can follow you on Twitter. Where would that be?
Well, that would be at Cheddar Talk. And I actually found out this week just by saying it. I was saying it out loud because someone was asking me what my Twitter was. Yeah, somebody was interested. Weird, right? And I figured out that Cheddar Talk is actually, if you say it over and over, Cheddar Talk, Cheddar Talk, Cheddar Talk, Cheddar Talk, it actually sounds like the sound a train makes going down the tracks. Cheddar Talk, Cheddar Talk, Cheddar Talk, Cheddar Talk. Anyways, at Cheddar Talk, John.
Yeah. Okay, so that train was.
It's been like 2 years. It's been like 2 years, and I'm still coming up with original content to introduce my
to fill 5 minutes of
still not working.
5 minutes of Twitter talk on every episode. All right, we'll get everything going right away here.
Common man calls that golden content,
just
by the way.
Gold. Yeah, it's not an organ playing just over nothing. But all right, we'll start everything off here with what we call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron, the main event almost was Badger related, but it's not. It's going to be Packers again, as per usual, as we say. The Packers had kind of lackluster game. It was not the fireworks we were hoping. It was a home game. I mean, it was in the snow again, so we had some of that going on, all these things. So it was just kind of a game. Like, they looked like they kind of had some things going there. Where Aaron Jones, 16 carries, getting 8 yards a carry, his longest run of the season, 42 yards. 134 yards rushing.
Aaron Jones looked mighty good. He really did. It would have looked even better if there would have been a pass that would have been about a foot shorter.
Oh goodness, yes. So yeah, Jones.
That was kind of the point of yesterday's game was, you can almost take away it's not a loser's lament, but because we didn't lose, the Packers didn't lose. It was literally about 3 feet away, 3 or 4 feet away of Aaron Rodgers' passes being overthrown from being a complete blowout. I mean, yeah, he missed two big passes.
Yeah, he missed on what was a completely unrushed throw. Nobody around. He missed Jimmy Graham deep for what may or may not have been a touchdown, depending on, I mean, there's a guy around, but they're kind of running sideways. He probably gets in, I think, on momentum alone. So misses that one. I mean, Jimmy Graham is wide open, and he just missed him. It was a great play setup. They worked Jimmy Graham open. The run action just froze everybody. It was a great setup. The play was designed very, very well. Rodgers had a lot of time, stepped up and overthrew him.
Right. And the other one was when he was being rushed and he missed Aaron Jones. Now, as Packer fans, we've been spoiled. But, man, when receivers are that wide open downfield, he doesn't miss those throws.
He had some this year.
Aaron Jones would have been a touchdown. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Aaron Jones could have had to turn around, catch it, backpedal a couple of yards like his other catch, and still turn around and get into the end zone. Like, he was that wide open, and that was a bad overthrow.
Yeah, there are two bad ones. And Rodgers, for whatever, like, he was back there a long time. Mm-hmm. Just forever in this game. I saw somebody had a stat that somewhere the Packers' offensive line got a rating of like 95% or something, 91 or 95. I'm not remembering because I didn't look up the stats. Somebody just tweeted it out in terms of their pass block rating. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, he got chased some and, you know, got sacked four times. You're like, well, yeah, but some of that was just, he just kind of hung around.
Well, this is the same. This is, I mean, rewind 1 year. This is kind of the same stuff we were talking about last season and the season before. It's been weird later in Aaron Rodgers' career how he, it's almost like his, oh, I can't use addictive drug. Let's say that, I was going to use a word that sounds like math, but has an E in it.
South Dakota.
Yes. But it's like he got a taste of it a couple years back when he had the mod squad for wide receivers and he had all this time and someone was always open 40 yards downfield and he was dropping dimes to him run the table year and then the year that they ended up losing in Seattle. It's like he got a taste of it and that's all he wants now. Like, he doesn't check down anymore, ever. And it's almost painful to watch him, like, scramble around trying to make more time. All he's doing is wearing out his offensive linemen, you know? And it's like, every once in a while, just throw a check down, man. Like, it's okay. I don't know. I kind of got that feeling from the game a little bit. Like, that's the only – we're 10-3. I keep saying we. I don't want to say that. It was because I was around a bunch of Bears fans this weekend.
But it is we.
Yeah, the Packers are 10-3.
Because they're a publicly owned team. It's the only team that can call themselves we, I think.
Right. And so they – I had to explain the whole stock situation to Holly this weekend. That was interesting. Anyways, I mean, they're 10-3. They're going to be the – at current pace, they're going to be the 2 or 3 seed going into the playoffs. I don't foresee them overtaking San Francisco, especially since they have the tiebreaker. I should be happy, but at the same time, you know, because we didn't expect this at all. Like, they already have 2 more wins than I expected on the upside, you know. So I don't remember what our predictions were at the beginning of the year, but I think I said 9-7, maybe 8-8. But
I'm trying to remember. We'll have to go back and look. I don't have that here.
So, yeah. I don't have it up right now, and I'm not going to go through my notebook right now to see what I wrote down. But why use facts now? I have never done it before. But I should be happy. But at the same time,
Let me put this in here.
Nice and all, but I almost wish that they would have had a worse year for draft picks for next year. But because I don't think that this team's equipped enough to get through the playoffs and market. If they win the Super Bowl, you can come back and point this out to me. I'll take the beating. But, yeah, I, huh. that's my take. So yeah, I don't think they're going to get through. I don't think they're going to get through the Saints. I don't think they're going to get through the Saints. I don't think they're going to get through the 49ers. And I don't think they're going to get through Seattle, even though Seattle looked really bad last night. But
everybody has their days. The thing is, you get into the playoffs. You right. just want to get in there and you get your shot. You know, I mean, like it's a week to week league. And if you get into the playoffs, that's all it takes. The Packers are darn near ready to clinch a wild card. They're, what, three games up on the Bears with three to play?
Right.
And they're going to play the Bears. So they can get a pass them right away next week. And that
why is it that the Packers are the pack? It seems like the Packers always get at least. I mean, I know the schedules are set up to do this, where they play yeah. conference games. How on earth do the Packers have three conference games to close the season?
Because the Packers are everybody's rival.
Well, the Lions don't get up for the Vikings apparently because
no,
because he that yesterday.
They're starting that Purdue quarterback Blau from last year.
Yeah, but you know that the Lions will give the Packers 100% in Week 17.
Yes. that's exactly it. Is like I just said, we are everybody's rival. Everybody's number one rival in the division is the Packers, and the Packers' number one rival is the Bears. Mm-hmm. It has been the Bears, and it will still be the Bears. I don't care what the Vikings say.
The Vikings' number one rival should be the Bears.
It should be. The Bears
because
beat them,
the
too.
The Bears do a lot more damage to the Vikings than the Packers do.
I don't know historically because I guess I don't watch. I just watch that game and try to find a mathematical way they can both lose.
By the way, on Thursday, since we didn't get a chance to talk Thursday Night Football, I don't like watching the Bears win.
No.
Man, if they're manhandling the Cowboys, it's okay, I guess. Because I really didn't have a problem with that. I'm sitting here like in my Packer fandom going, oh God, we need to just let the Bears lose so they could just give up on their season.
That is the
and then it's like, or just womp the crap out of the Cowboys because this is fun to watch too.
Man, if we finished in like, no, we couldn't play the Cowboys.
Jason Garrett squirm on the sideline. That was great.
Just want to finish as the first wild card and play the Cowboys in round one. Wouldn't that be great again? No, I'd rather win and get the two seed, obviously. Here's the thing, and I want to go back to this because we talked about like he's holding the ball too long, and this was the distinction that was made on Twitter today and probably parts of yesterday by Ben Fennell. If you don't follow him, Ben_Fennell_NFL on Twitter. He's great. He does a lot of good film breakdowns. He's very good. He comes on the Acme Packing podcast every now and then too and does some film breakdown stuff with them. Obviously as a podcast form and not as a video post or whatever. But it's still very, very good stuff. He broke down some of these plays, and there's ones where Aaron is back in the pocket. It looks like he has, with the way that the blocking goes, it's wide open in front of him. Like the guards have cleared out to the side and the tackles have kind of pushed past. And you can see that based on the way they've set it up, they force one safety to roll with a crossing route and Lazard is wide open coming across on a deep post. Also, Jimmy Graham is open underneath and there's a dump off pass to Jamal Williams. And you're like, all of these things are open. And what Rodgers does is he tries to step forward and run on a 1st-and-15 play, step forward and run, and ends up getting tackled from behind for basically almost no gain, if anything. They're like, that's not your job. He's trying to be a playmaker. His job is to be a quarterback. You're like, no, it's nice to be able to do things with your feet, but the problem is he's looking to do that first, keep things open and make a big play. And it might be, I mean, the Packers this year have played down to opponents several occasions. I mean, the Giants and Washington in the last couple of weeks have been games where the Packers have played down to teams they're much better than.
Well, you mentioned it yesterday that playing down to the Giants was beating them 31-13.
Yeah.
Was that you that mentioned that? Yeah, that was you that mentioned that. I'm like, that was playing down to the Giants. Talk to the Philadelphia Eagles about playing down to the Giants, by the way, right now.
Right now, they are not having it. But yeah, no, I mean,
Eli's back. Sorry.
And here's the duality of the entire thing that we're talking about here is that, like, yeah, there's things they can correct. There are things here about this team that we aren't exactly jazzed about. But at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not upset about anything that happened I watched a game yesterday where the Packers were comfortably in control of that game throughout. Okay. And I never really felt Washington was about to take over this game or take the lead. Even when they were going down the field with the chance to tie or whatever. No, they were going down.
It got a little sketchy at the end. It was like, I'm sorry, yeah, especially after watching the Badgers lose the day before, you're like, oh, God, here we go. But otherwise, no.
Yeah, when they had the ball going down, they score the touchdown. I'm like, they're not going to get this 2-point. And they didn't. And I was like, even if they do, they're not getting the ball back. They're not going to score twice. And I mean, and that's just me. I'm not saying nobody should have felt worried. I'm just saying I didn't feel worried with this team. I was like, they're going to make enough plays to win. And right. Rodgers said it afterwards, just win dirty all the way into the playoffs. You know, like, right. I mean, muddy games count. You win it just an ugly game, not dirty. He said ugly. I'm sorry. I'll make sure I don't want to put words in his mouth. He didn't mean, you know, playing dirty like a Patriot or something. Just right. Playing ugly.
Oh, shots fired.
They find things to do that are just good enough. It's been pointed out today, too, also, Nagler and I think Fennell and fan of the podcast, Andy Herman, have pointed out that the offense technically is getting almost exactly the same production as it did last year,
right.
Except for we're winning. For one thing, the right. defense looks better, at least in spots they look better. They don't break as often as they used to. They're scoring roughly the same points per game. The team just looks like they're having more fun, too. Like, they're finding ways to win.
Well, the last Smith brothers really have a lot to do with that. But this is technically – and we have to remind ourselves of this. But – and like I checked myself on this earlier. We're technically – the Packers are technically in a rebuild year, and yeah. They're 10-3. Like, we didn't expect – any of this at all whatsoever. And the fact that it's turning out this well, yeah, we've signed some big free agents, but I think it was to set ourselves up for next year and the year beyond that, you know, like a couple of years down the road. And so I
do want to put this out. So they just, the big thing they put out now is like Packers long storied history. They have never had a first year head coach get 10 wins. And you're like, you know, that Lombardi's first year, he coached 12 games.
Yeah, exactly. I know,
like,
I love
that would have been incredible, you know, like if he'd have turned around a team that that's needed to fire really, their coach.
Stuff right there, like, yeah, you know, Lombardi went 9-3.
No,
he was terrible his first year, but
7-5.
What's that?
He was 7-5 his first year.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about Lambeau. That's right.
Lambeau was 4-2 I think it was 4-2.
Yeah,
because they played like 6 games.
Either way, but it was the year before Lombardi. They were really, really bad, right?
They were terrible. Yeah, that was the year Lions. The Lions won the NFL championship the year before Lombardi got there, and then haven't won a championship
since. To include a playoff game.
just about. It's been a while.
they won a playoff game?
You know, I can't recall. They have not in a long time. It's been a while since they've won a division. It's been since the 90s, right?
Did Wayne Fonts win a playoff game?
Yeah, I don't know that he ever did.
Because it would have to have been Wayne Fonts, because they sure didn't win one since then.
No, they definitely didn't. Just take a quick look here. Last Lions playoff win. It looks like it was January 5th, 1992. They beat the Dallas Cowboys 38-6. Divisional round.
Yeah.
It has been, and this is a story on Yahoo Sports, says it has been over 10,000 days since the Lions last won a playoff game. This was written in May.
That's right.
In May of this year.
They had Herman Moore and Barry Sanders and no quarterback and a good coach. Wayne Fonts was a very good coach. And they couldn't get anywhere with it. Hey, so back to Ben Fennell, by the way. I'm just looking at, he put a small clip on here of block that Mercedes Lewis had.
Oh, it's beautiful. Wasn't that block
beautiful? Yeah, it's gorgeous. God, that tight end, like, half-cut block. Oh, it's technically a blindside block, but he is shoulder to shoulder.
He's in line, so yeah, they're not going to call that. Yeah.
Oh, and he's a lineman, too. Yeah, it's within, you know, and by that time, that guy's within the tackles. He just puts a 350-pound man on the ground. And yeah, that's awesome. Anyways, sorry.
So yeah, the one other thing I do want to talk about with you, Aaron, is I think it was Pro Football. Somebody put out their first mock draft, or at least their most recent mock draft. Do you know who the Packers are projected to have in this mock draft?
I know. I got in some trouble on Twitter about that. Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama.
Tagovailoa. Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa.
Sure. I made a good attempt at it.
You did, and I corrected it because I want to make sure people know we know how to say it. It's just been a long day. Yeah. I would jump at that in a heartbeat. I love that idea.
I will be surprised if he's there.
I'm not saying he won't be. I'll be surprised if a quarterback is still there at that point.
For whatever reason, if that kind of a talent falls that fall down that falls that far down the draft to you, like I don't care if Aaron's got a couple of good years left in him or not. I mean, they did the same thing to Brett Favre. I mean, if that happens, you got to, right?
I would think so, and he's not going to play next year probably either. Like he's pretty hurt, so he wouldn't be coming back. He's a guy you pick and sit there, and give him a chance to take some time, and then you know work his way back in. I mean that's fine. Give him a year or so off the bench, and then I don't know. I mean, you let Aaron play as long as Aaron wants to play, right?
Mm-hmm.
But man, if you've got Tua Tagovailoa sitting there.
I mean,
I don't know why you do that.
Let's be perfectly honest. I mean, Brady's starting to show some age now, too. I say this, and they're going to win the Super Bowl. But anyways, Brady's starting to show some age now, and he's just 2 years past 40. And I know Breeze is there right there too. He's 39 years old now. But I mean, at some point you have to be real with yourself. And Aaron Rodgers is only going to continue to keep asking for more money to stay as a franchise quarterback. And it's a new regime in Green Bay anyways. The only holdovers are him and Mason Crosby. Why not? I know what the injury was. It's significant, but he's a young man and he's got a lot of talent, and I say why not? So
yeah. No, that'd be great. I mean, like I said, I don't think he'd fall that far, but that would be pretty great if he did.
And for everyone who's saying that Aaron Rodgers needs wide receiver help, I get it. He does. Yes, I get that. But the first round draft pick wide receivers are so hit and miss anyways.
They really are. Yeah.
I mean, unless you're picking in the top 10, for every Julio Jones that's a top 10, you get what's his name that the Vikings took like number 14th overall?
I know who you're talking about. He had trouble seeing the ball because he had bars on his helmet on his face mask that made it hard to catch the ball.
Yeah, yeah. Look how many
Williamson,
top five
right?
picks. Look how many top five picks the Detroit Lions dropped on wide receivers that didn't pan out. I mean, and then you know the best wide receiver in Aaron Rodgers' career is Greg Jennings. I mean, how many good second-round wide receivers are there? I get that. So drop some second-round. I don't know. If that were to somehow happen, you got to do it. And I don't like how Packer fans are so adverse to taking talent. So
Troy Williamson, I think, is who you're thinking of.
Yeah, Troy Williamson. Thank you.
From South Carolina. He was 7th overall pick in the 2005 draft. He used to just drop balls. He was very athletic. He would get wide open deep, and then the ball would just hit him in the face mask and not his hands. It was so great.
What was it? Was it him and is that the year that the Vikings had two picks before Aaron Rodgers?
I believe they also picked Erasmus James that year.
Erasmus James from Wisconsin, yeah.
Who got hurt? He was a very good defensive end, but he got hurt early in his career in Minnesota. And, yeah, getting drafted by Minnesota is one of the first things to make sure that a Badger player is going to get hurt and ruin his career. Right. Ask Michael Bennett, who was a Pro Bowler for the Vikings for 1 year and then got hurt and didn't really do anything else.
Right.
All right, so we mentioned off the top, though, that we did kind of almost have great Wisconsin Badger news, but what we have is good Wisconsin Badger news instead. What we have is, you know, we didn't win the Big Ten. There were a couple of minutes there where people were trying to convince themselves Barstool Big Cat was taking a walk at halftime, trying to see if he can convince himself to take mm-hmm. the uh, to believe again. And I was like, don't do it.
Don't.
I have said this a number of times here. Normally talk about other teams, but it's like a team that is the inferior team can stick with a better team for a half of football. They really can. Mm-hmm. And I expected the Gophers to do it, and they didn't. The Gophers fell way before halftime. Right. Emotion is such a powerful thing in things like football and basketball. It can carry you through a half. In college,
right?
The pros is very different. In college, you can stick with a team for a half. I've seen Purdue do it. I've seen a couple other teams do it to Wisconsin. And then in the second half, they just roll you. Mm-hmm. And it basically, the third quarter was terrible for the Badgers. They got 17 points to nothing. 17 to nothing right. in that quarter alone, and that was what killed it. Mm-hmm. After that, they gave up a couple more points, but it was a 13-point game. The spread was 16.5. Badgers mm-hmm. covered. They played Ohio State better than anybody else has this year. And don't tell me that, Penn State kind of worked their way back. No, Penn State never led. Penn State was never ahead in that game. Ohio State was just in front of them and just kind of let them back late and then crushed them at the end, just like crushed their hopes at the end. Like, it was only 11 points. Yeah, you were never leading. Badgers had a lead in the third quarter.
Right. And I mean,
that ever did that. They have never trailed in any game by as much as they did in this game.
And the thing is, too, is so like as opposed to emotion keeping you in a game until half and then not being able to fight, Wisconsin has the ability to beat Ohio State 1 out of 10 times. Like Ohio State's going to win 9 out of 10 times. Wisconsin has the ability to win 1 out of 10 times, which most teams in the country don't even have the 1 out of 10. They have 1 out of 100 chance to beat them. But coming out after halftime and letting them just house you down, boat race you down the field.
And losing Chris Orr late in the second quarter was bigger than it seemed because that changed your entire pass rush. It changes your rotation at linebacker. It changes what you can do. I mean, mm-hmm. here's what I'm going to say. So, Ohio State was going to win that game anyhow. Chris Orr is healthy. They get everything going their way. I mean, mm-hmm. they're still going to lose. They were the worst of the two teams, but it's not that bad.
No, it's not. And what I was getting at is so you get boat raced down the field once. You can recover from that sort of because you still have a lead at that point. And if you get a good drive or a couple of good things go your way, but the Badgers had the worst thing go their way, and that was their punter drop the ball on the very
Anthony
next
Lottie,
and give Ohio State the ball at the 15-yard line? That's not going to help. And then they only kicked a field goal. I get that.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, which was a huge moral victory for the Badgers, but it didn't matter. I mean, those are two huge things. And I mean, right off the bat, you just let them go down the field 75 yards in three or four plays and score a touchdown. And then the punter drops the ball and you give up 10 points in 3 minutes. Hey, you don't come back. I mean, if you're going to be the underdog team that sustains a victory like Auburn did against Alabama, you got to keep your foot on the gas. And the Badgers just came out flat after halftime. Like they just let them, they just went into punching bag mode and just took the punches and nothing went right. The Badgers looked, and by the beginning of the fourth quarter, the Badgers looked like a high school football team. Like, and I get it. Ohio State's a lot better, but I mean,
I wouldn't say it's that bad. They didn't look like a high school team. And a chance down there at the end where Ohio State could have put the ball in and made it a 3-score game. The Badgers stopped them again and made them kick a field goal to keep it a 13-point game.
Right.
I mean, they were going to win, but they'd never quit on that game. And that team played pretty well, and they did a very good job on that. And now the Badgers get to go to the Rose Bowl. They're going to play Oregon, who they got them ranked number 6. Now, here's the weird one where it goes. ESPN's Pick Center says Oregon by 2.5. The actual spread is Wisconsin by 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
So the matchup predictor has Oregon slightly favored in ESPN. The Badgers, total yards in terms of offense, these teams are very close. Points per game, 35.9 to 34.6. Points allowed, 15.7 to 16.1. But the Badgers give up a little bit fewer yards. The Badgers are better defense. Oregon's got a slightly better offense, but not by all that much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm just trying to look like Oregon. They're good. They're good. Mm-hmm. They hung with Auburn. They probably should have beaten Auburn. But I'm just trying to look and see what they did here. Like, they lost to Auburn to start the year. Mm-hmm. They went through the, you know, the south. No, I'm sorry, the north of the Pac-12, which was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Between Auburn and the end of the year, they only played one other ranked team until they got to the Pac-12 championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 25th ranked Washington, who they beat 35-31.
Mm-hmm.
The Badgers had a much tougher schedule this year than what Oregon had. And I mean, they won the Civil War, which is Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Arizona, which, you know, Arizona's a decent enough team. They're what, a 6-6 team at the end of the year, or are they 7-5 by the end of the year? You know, 7-5.
Sure.
And they're gonna go to a bowl game and play Florida State, who, God, they don't belong in a bowl game. But yeah, I mean, that's their Illinois loss, basically. They got a good coach, a former pro coach at Arizona State. And they pulled out a win and beat Oregon. But other than that, I mean, like, Oregon had a tough loss to Auburn at a neutral site field, if I remember correctly, because they were playing in a dome. That was the first game of the year. That was one of those playing somewhere else games. They did they did beat Montana 35-3. Badgers didn't play anybody as bad as Montana.
Well, they were saying that too about Oregon, is that playing Auburn right off the bat, like, it just feeds into that fact that, let's, you know, Oregon and Boise State were well known for, and Oregon to this day, about, you know, like, we'll play anybody anywhere anytime. And
yeah,
but playing a top 25 team week one is probably not a good idea, because that your first week is not when your team's going to be at their best in college. Like, yeah, play Auburn like week three or four, or like how the Badgers are playing Notre Dame like middle of the season, you know, at Lambeau Field, or 1-1, and then the next year at Soldier Field, but not a week one game. Like, if they went to play Auburn, they'd probably be in the playoff right now, even with that loss to Arizona. So
Arizona State, yeah. I don't know, because the Pac-12 is just not a very good conference.
No.
Oregon, in their division, they're the only team with a winning conference record in their division. Oregon State, Cal, and Washington are all 4-5 in the Pac-12. Washington State and Stanford were both 3-6, which means that Washington State gets into a bowl game because they won 3 non-conference games. Washington gets into a bowl game because they won 3 non-conference games. Cal, same thing. Oregon State actually lost 2 of their 3 non-conference games, so they're not going to a bowl game.
Wow.
There are only 3 ranked teams in the Pac-12, and that's Oregon, Utah, and USC. 8-4, USC at 22.
I did see, speaking of Washington State, I did see that my favorite head coach in college football quit Washington State.
Did he? Leach? He's
not Washington. Sorry, not Washington State. Washington.
Peterson.
Okay. Chris Peterson. Yep.
Here's the thing. I mean, Oregon gets there because, yeah, they got the record and they got the name recognition. They've been good for a little bit. And apparently Aaron's dropping marbles in the background or something. But
that wasn't me.
Okay. Maybe it was upstairs.
Where
I don't know
where that noise come from.
Maybe that was upstairs. I don't know.
Okay.
But anyhow, I just don't – like, the Badgers played Ohio State twice, one of them on the road. Ohio State is one of the two best teams in this country right now. And, you know, I feel for Clemson. I think they're very good, yet they graduated a lot on that defense. They got a lot of guys behind it. But, man, LSU looks like killers. And Ohio State, they have beaten very good teams. Mm-hmm. And they have an incredible defense. And, yeah – Wisconsin kind of figured them out a little bit the second time, but it still didn't matter. It's hard to beat somebody twice in college football like that, and they still rolled. Still got past us, beat them by 13, a neutral site. So I don't know. I think the Badgers got a good shot against Oregon. We'll talk about that more as we get closer, obviously. You know, it's a New Year's Day bowl. But, yeah, very excited for that.
No, and also to Nike money. Remember that when it comes to Oregon.
Yeah.
You got to add that in. I look forward to it. It'll be interesting. It's always that's why bowl games are interesting, because, you know, I'm actually going to watch the Outback Bowl to see how Minnesota does against Auburn, just to see like a different point of view, because we have nothing else with Minnesota except for against the Badgers and Penn State. That's all we've seen. And Iowa, who beat them. But, you know, that's the fun thing about bowl games. It's like to see how your team does against these other teams from other conferences. And in my opinion, until further notice, I think Clemson's going to win the whole thing again. So, I mean, Trevor Lawrence.
I'd pick LSU if it's me, but yeah.
Trevor Lawrence hasn't lost a game yet. Prove me wrong. You know, that's where I'm at with that.
Well, as we just said, the Pac-12 only has 3 ranked teams. I believe the ACC has 1. Just 1. I believe they only have a single ranked team. I don't know. Maybe Virginia's ranked now. They're going to some New Year's Six bowl game, so they got something out of it.
I don't care. Just prove me wrong. I mean, yeah. I mean, somebody beat Clemson. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to say. I mean, they played the schedule they had.
It's them against Ohio State right off the bat, right? Because LSU's got Oklahoma.
Yep. Ohio State and Clemson. That's going to be the bigger game to watch. Because I don't believe in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma's going to get smoked. Choke-lahoma. it's going to. They ain't. So I'm surprised they won their game to end the season. But
So the next thing that we do have Bucs basketball. And the Bucs now.
All they do is win, John.
They do. They're 15 straight wins. They just beat the Magic. In what is basically the closest game they've played in a long time, they only won by 9.
Yeah.
They beat the Clippers. They beat the Clippers 119-91. I mean, holding the Clippers to 91, that's a very good game to play. And, you know, Kawhi played. He played 30 minutes. He had 17 points. It's not like they sat a bunch of people. George had 13 points. Beverly at 6. Antetokounmpo had 27. And Middleton, who's back now, thank God, he had 17 to match Leonard. And just they walked away with it. Getting that game, that's a big win. I mean, 119-91 against a team that a lot of people have been saying, and rightly so, just looks like one of the teams in the West that's going to have a really good chance at coming out of there, them and the Lakers. And they went and played the Clippers and just beat them pretty thoroughly. They won 3 of the 4 quarters even. Mm-hmm. They're up 30-15 in the first quarter. They killed in the third quarter as well, and they just hung on in the fourth quarter there. But, I mean, 35-19 in the third quarter. They just walked away with this one. They were in control basically the whole game and just walked through. And I said it last week and the week before. I mean, like the NBA, just somebody put on Twitter something about like the NBA is better than the NFL and it's not close. I was like, no, it's not. It's not close. The NBA is not better than the NFL though, because none of this matters. I mean, we know who's getting in the playoffs. Also, it doesn't matter who finishes 5 through 8 in the playoffs because none of those teams are going anywhere. I mean, the top 4 teams in each conference are going to win the first round and then move on to the second round, and then you can start caring. Because it doesn't – like, this doesn't matter. The Bucks are getting into the playoffs, and they're going to be a top seed. They're going to be one or the two. And
from what – at current rate of travel, they're going to be one by a long shot, so.
Yeah, I mean, they're 6 ahead of Indiana for the division lead. And they're 3 ahead of Boston, 3.5 ahead of Miami, who's playing very well this year. Philadelphia in the 4 spot. I'll go so far as to say, I guess, the East is interesting down to the 5. Mm-hmm. But Indiana, Brooklyn, Orlando, I don't care. Orlando doesn't even have a winning record. The Bucks are 21-3.
And before anybody says that the Western Conference is so much more dominant, the 7 and 8 seed in the Western Conference both have losing records too, by the way.
That's true. Yeah. And the 6 seed is 13-11, which is roughly Brooklyn, which is 13 and 10. So right, the sixth seed is the same as the seventh seed in the East at this point. And you're like, oh, they're playing harder teams. Yeah, they're playing a lot of good teams. The Bucks just beat the two seed in the West, the 18 and 7 Clippers, and beat them convincingly at this point. So, yeah, the Bucks have been great. I mean, a 15-game win streak. Their point differential per game was 13.1 average, 13.3 average point differential. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. The Lakers are at 9.9. The Clippers are at 6.8. Yeah, this Bucks team is going to be just very, very good, and it's great to watch. So
looking ahead right now, the Bucks and the Lakers are tied for best record at 21-3. They actually play each other on the 19th in Milwaukee. You want to know what tickets start at for a single ticket upstairs for that one?
This is 350?
No, upstairs. So top deck, just single ticket, one person, is $90.
$90,
which is okay. If you want to buy two tickets in the upper deck for this game, that starts at $120 a piece. And then besides not being for sale at all, you're going to pay $2,500 for courtside.
Jeez. For that game. Well, I'm not going to pay any of that. I'll go watch them play somebody who sucks.
lower deck, you're looking basically at about $200 for a single ticket anywhere on the lower deck. So. All right. I would love to go see a game. I'd love to take my family to Fiserv Forum, but the problem is that right now the Bucks are so good that no matter who you're playing, good. I mean, even if they play December 16th versus the Mavs. Let's go take a look how much tickets cost for that. Oh, I could get $35 a ticket for that.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty decent game, actually.
Yeah.
That's not so bad. You got to go check them out, of course, on GovX, one of our favorite websites ever, GovX.
I mean, it'd be $40 a ticket for the upper deck, but so.
Yeah, it's the only thing I haven't been to. I've been to college and pro hockey. I've been to college and pro football. I've been to pro baseball. I guess I've never been to college baseball, but there's not a D1 baseball team in this state.
I have been to the College Baseball World Series in Omaha, and that is well amazing. Worth it, just so you know.
I would like to go to that. I have a buddy who grew up in Omaha, but he lives in Houston now. The NBA is one of the few major type sporting events I've just never gone to, at least for sporting events that exist in the state of Wisconsin. Well, also pro hockey, but that's just because we've been cheated by the NHL. But anyhow, that's a whole nother day.
You're going to die on that hill, aren't you?
I will die on that hill. Wisconsin deserves a hockey team more than Seattle does.
Yeah, that's a good. Well, that's a good point. But that's
Florida deserves two teams, which nobody watches. Well, they watch Tampa Bay because the Lightning are really good.
Yes, they are. I haven't been to Fiserv. And I should have went last year because now it's getting more expensive. But I watched a number of Bucks games as a child at the old Bradley Center with my relatives that lived in Milwaukee, and it was fun. I mean, I got to see Michael Jordan live, so that was well worth it. And then went to a couple Timberwolves games, and that was at Target Center. And
Target Center is not in a great little spot either.
Unlike Xcel Energy Center, which is a great hockey arena.
The Xcel Energy Center is in a beautiful part of town, too, down by the cathedral and by the state capitol. And there's so many great places around there to eat, and there's good hotels nearby and everything. That is in a fantastic spot and such a great arena. Such a great arena. I love going to Wild games. It's so good.
True story, though. The stadium... XL's a beast, but what's the name? UMD plays up in Duluth, right down on the lake.
I don't remember the name of their stadium.
Amsoil Arena.
Yeah, we've been by there. You took me by there.
Yeah, Amsoil Arena has been ranked by a number of services that as the best sporting venue, D1 college pro in America. Right. And it is really nice.
I haven't been in it. I've driven by it because I've been up there to see you. But yeah, I've driven by it.
Pretty, pretty, pretty good venue for hockey.
pretty okay. Yeah.
It feels like you were on the ice everywhere. It feels like you're sitting at home watching a hockey game. It is unbelievable.
Oh, that's terrible because hockey's way better in person than it is at home.
No, TV. I just mean it feels like you're just right on top of it, like you're watching it on your TV because it's you feel like you're that close always, and it's somehow it's not that stacked up. It's just a really good. It's like I don't know how they got it right, but they did, and it's. I've watched a couple of games there, and it's unbelievable. And you can just walk around, and it's got big, wide-open walking areas, and you could stand around and watch the game from pretty much anywhere. And it's and you can hear all the stick, you can hear all the sticks on the ice, and all the puck movement and everything. It's unbelievable. Anyway, sorry.
Very good. But, in other basketball news, though, Wisconsin, the Badgers, beat Indiana. This is one I didn't see coming. Right. Indiana was. They were, what, 8-0 coming in? Mm-hmm. And the Badgers were 4-4 coming in after just losing NC State, the Wolfpack, in a battle for Russell Wilson's heart. but, yeah, Wisconsin got up big. Kobe King having the best game of his life, 10 of 15 from field goals, only 1 of 3 from threes, but that's not where he excels. 24 points for Kobe King. Reavers having another great game. He's having a very good year. Fantastic for him. He gets 20 points, 4 rebounds, no assists. But, yeah, Nate Reavers having just a fantastic year. He is a junior. He's a 6'11 junior. Well, he's from Lakeville. You know who else is from Lakeville? Is Tyler Wall, a freshman forward who had 6 points in this game. Pritzel added 9 off the bench. So we get 20 from Reavers, 24 from King. Davison and Trice continue to underwhelm immensely. Just crazy.
They talk about that on the Fan all the time, about how many top recruits from the Twin Cities play for Wisconsin and Duke and not for Minnesota.
Nobody wants to stay in Minnesota. That university's athletics are a joke. Joe Hedstrom, freshman, 7-foot-tall freshman from Hopkins, Minnesota.
Their major sports are jokes. They've got other good sports.
Yeah, their hockey team is very nice. And they're not that great right now because their hockey team is like the fourth best hockey team in Minnesota.
They've got
Their volleyball team is very good. Yeah, the wrestling and their volleyball are both very, very good.
Baseball program is really good, too, for a state that can't play baseball outside until May.
The Twins were very good last year. You can't say they weren't. So they were fantastic last year. It was great to see. Because I have no ill will to the Twins.
And then Yankees.
And yeah, Yankees always do it to the
Twins. I used to not have ill will towards the Twins, but after their penny-pinching ways for so long under the poll ads, it's been hard to watch. And holding a city hijacked twice in between the threat of retraction, it was them and the Expos. The Brewers should have been retracted long before the Twins were. The Twins have a better history. And that was – so that was a joke. That was held the city hostage. And then they held the city hostage again for Miller Park – or for Target Field.
Yeah.
I lost a lot of respect for the Twins. And I used to not hold ill will towards them. Now I just don't care. Actually, I'd rather watch any other team than the Twins. I've been to Target Field. It's a nice venue.
It is a very nice venue. I liked it there.
It is, but God forbid they ever get to a World Series because it's going to be November in the Twin Cities playing baseball. Anyways,
sorry. It's still fun.
Twins bandwagon, I hate them now.
All right. Well, with Twins bandwagon, we'll end our main event here and we'll take everything else up in what we call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron, for the last call, a couple of things we want to go over. I think the biggest one is that, of course, I don't know if we talked about this, but a number, like, you know, a top 10 Wisconsin football team played the number one ranked team in the country this week.
Oh, Whitewater.
Yeah, Whitewater beat Mary Tyler Moore. No, I'm sorry, Mary Harden Baylor.
Good.
And so they beat them, move on to the semifinals, where they will play the St. John's Johnnies.
Oh, the Cobbers.
No, no, the St. John's Johnnies from Collegeville, Minnesota. One of the best teams in D3 over, I mean, they're the Michigan, Notre Dame, whatever, of D3 football. They have more wins than anybody. They win titles. That is, they are the one of those top programs traditionally. They beat another one of those top ranked teams. The top three teams in the tournament are out.
Sounds like our fantasy football league. Two of my fantasy football leagues. Yeah. Three of my fantasy leagues.
So a very, very great, a good win. There's something you may have seen going around Twitter. If you don't follow Owen Reese, you should, because he can show you this. Ethan Key had a run where a safety came up and just smoked him and kind of bent him sideways and backwards. It looked like he's about to get just completely destroyed. But then he kind of absorbs the blow, picks up, and then carries that guy for like another 7 yards and a first down. Man, it's good. If you want to find anything about Whitewater, you go out to hashtag pound the rock and you'll find a bunch of good stuff there. That team keeps rolling right now. I think they came in ranked 8th in the most recent things, but man, beating Mary Hardin Baylor in Texas, beating them in Texas, and convincingly too. It was a big win. Gets them in the semifinals against St. John's. I feel very good about this Whitewater team. I think they got a lot of momentum. They got a lot of talent, and that team going to playing St. John's, that's going to be a good game, and that's going to be fantastic. And go War Eagles. Go beat them, or Warhawks. Pardon me. Go Warhawks. See what you can do. Beat those Johnnies.
You know, I feel bad, like, you know, having lived up north for so long, I'm not as invested in the Badgers as I would like to be, because they're not my alumni, and I didn't grow up on campus. I love Madison. I love Madison's campus. I love the vibe that comes from being on Madison. It's so cool, and I have nothing against it. I just was never invested in it because I was way up north in Superior. And the same thing can be said for Whitewater. You know, right now in Janesville, they're literally 20 minutes down the road. If I go up Highway 26 and cut across on the other highway, they're right there. That's where our maintenance shop is for all of our vehicles. You know, okay. So it's really that close. And I mean, maybe the longer we live here, I'm going to have to start looking to go to the Warhawks games.
That Perkins Field, the Perk.
Oh, it's a beautiful field. We've driven around Whitewater campus, and I'm like, why did I go to Superior? I should have went here. You know? And so, sorry, Yellow Jackets. That just came out.
They're coming at you. Now you don't get to speak at your alumni conference.
Hashtag UW Super. But speaking of this one, I was going to say, speaking of Warhawks, so the end of the Packer game, Jake Kumerow had a shot to get the onside kick, and he did what Brandon Bostic didn't do.
His job.
He had that ball coming right at him, and he skirted around it to make the block. He got out of the way of that ball to make the block and let Devontae Adams fall on it.
Which Brandon Bostic should have done for Jordy.
Yes.
In other Wisconsin news, of course, one of the big things is that Badger women volleyball gets out of the first round. They will host the regionals. Nebraska is going to be the biggest team probably in that regional. They're going to have to play Nebraska, who, you know, knock on wood, they have swept twice this year. So that would be fantastic if Wisconsin can get there. They get through these regionals. They're in the Sweet 16 right now. They get through this, they could find themselves in a Final Four, and at this point, you think they're the favorite, and they're going to be home for these games. So, I mean, just, you know, every good bit of vibes to Wisconsin volleyball. Congratulations to the women's volleyball team. They have had such a great year. Keep going. This has been a fantastic thing to watch. And I'm sure it is on Big Ten Network, okay? So find it on Big Ten Network, wherever you've got it, and watch those games. It's a lot of fun. They've been playing great. And the atmosphere over there has been pretty fantastic. And so, congratulations for getting through the next part. Just keep rolling, ladies. Other than that, of course, in more Wisconsin women's sports, women's hockey rolled again this week. The number one ranked women's Badger team was a 4-3 win and then a 5-2 win over UMD Bulldogs. They'll have some time. The next play, January 4th, against Robert Morris. UWB men have had a much rougher road. They've got a bunch of talent. They got a bunch of young guys, junior or sophomores and freshmen, like Keandre Miller, Cole Caulfield. They actually have four players going to the juniors tournament coming up here, but they took a 3-0 loss and then a 5-4 overtime loss against Michigan State, a team who they outranked. So that was a bad sweep for the Badgers men. They've been pretty inconsistent. Caulfield actually is up to 11 goals on the year, I believe. He's having a very nice year, but just not getting enough quite done. It's a very young team. A lot, like I said, a lot of freshmen and sophomores on this team, and a lot of talent, though. A lot of talent on this team. They'll next play January 1st against the U.S. 18 and under team. So that's a great team to play. That'll be an exhibition game. In other hockey, UW-Eau Claire retains the number one ranking in men's hockey. They get a 5-1 win over Northland College, which is now, as of this year, in the WIAC. So the WIAC is now up to six teams, though I still think they don't get an automatic bid. And then they got a 2-0 win over the River Falls Falcons. UWSP now is, I guess, ostensibly the 20th ranked team, though they only actually showed down to 15. In terms of teams receiving votes, they're kind of the 20th ranked team. They got a 6-3 win over UW Stout and then lost 2-3 against Northland to give Northland its first ever conference win. It has been a rough year for the Pointers. UW Superior ended up getting a split over the weekend, but they're not ranked at this point either. At this point, too, in women's hockey, UW-Eau Claire is ranked 5th at 8-1-1, and UW-River Falls improves to 6-2-1 and are ranked number 7 in the country. And that's what we have in terms of all those other things. Oh, I do want to mention Wisconsin, I guess, did drop slightly from 6-8 in the most recent wrestling polls. So NC State and Ohio State move up over Wisconsin as they drop. They are now 6-1 overall and drop down below a 6-0 NC State team and a 3-1 Ohio State team. Badgers ranked 8th. That Minnesota team, which has been a very good wrestling team, they're down in 15 right now, right behind Northwestern. And who decided to let Northwestern wrestle? That's all I have to say about that.
Wrestling's like hockey. It's kind of a weird rich kid sport. it really is. Hey, did that team that hasn't wrestled a match yet wrestle the match yet?
Let me go double check on that.
Well, I'm getting here right now. We have to break this down, John.
Lock Haven.
Lock Haven is still
33 points. They're still ranked 25th. They were 25th last week. They remain 25th by playing nobody. They're 33rd. They're still ahead of Campbell, who is receiving votes. Stanford and Illinois, Rutgers, Wyoming, Michigan State, and Old Dominion, the Monarchs of Old Dominion. All of those teams receiving votes. Lock Haven remains ahead of them with 33 points in zero matches.
Cornell and Northern Iowa remain 16 and 17 since last week with 0-2 records. Lehigh stayed at 13 this week. This is going to be a bit from week to week, by the way. This is great. And somehow Penn State is still number 3 with a 1-1 record when everybody else around them has at least 3 or more matches.
Yeah, the only other little things, I guess, we didn't cover any Brewers. The only things I mentioned is they have re-signed Claudio. They have also picked up from Detroit infielder Ronnie Rodriguez. And apparently, they are in talks to being one of the teams interested in Didi Gregorius, which, what do you do with Arcia and Gregorius on your team? Who knows? It'll be interesting to see. Just adding talent is pretty great, but yeah, we'll see what happens with that. The last couple of things I want to bring up, I guess the first one is, of course, that today, as we record on Monday, it has been pointed out that the Patriots apparently sent a film crew to film their, as they say, their advanced scout who was watching Cincinnati this week, and he was there to do a do your job segment about the advanced scout. And the problem is that it appeared that he might have also been filming the Cincinnati Bengals play calls and sidelines and may have been caught. And that's the most hilarious thing ever. The Patriots don't need to cheat. They're really good. They don't need to, but they just really want to. And
is this the beginning of the end of the end?
I don't know. Probably not. Not as long as Belichick's there.
For the Patriots?
No. They'll retool. They'll get rid of Brady. They'll start, I don't know who, doesn't matter who, somebody else, and then just move on.
I mean, once Belichick leaves, it's done, though, right?
Oh, yeah. There's nobody else can do that with Belichick, and, you know, with the Boston media market and everything, too. Too many people will try to be Belichick and can't.
Does Belichick move on to GM and then McDaniels takes over as head coach? I mean, even still, that I don't think that'd work even, would
no,
it?
No, I can't imagine he'd like that. I can't imagine either of them would like that. There's no way that Belichick wants to stay with that team and not be the coach, right? So he's going to be there until he wants to not be there. No matter how many times he gets caught cheating, he's going to be there until he wants to not be there, right?
It was a fully tooled Chiefs team that beat them last night, unlike the Texans, who got smoked yesterday by the Broncos.
And I am fully aware that they kind of got cheated on some bad calls. And I'll feel bad for them a little bit in that right. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. That happens to every team in the NFL, to right. Every team.
Ask the Lions against the Packers.
Ask the Packers against the Seahawks.
Or the Packers against the Seahawks. Yeah,
Everybody gets that, and it sucks. It does suck because that was a touchdown that they took away. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. They're not playing great. Yeah. The defense is the thing saving them at this point, and that Chiefs team is so fast, just so fast all over the field, and they got a good win, and a good road win too. That's fantastic for them. But yeah, it's just so funny to see the Chiefs or see the Patriots trying to cheat against the worst team in football, who is going to be drafting Burrow as soon as the season's over.
Right.
And it's just like, why even bother? The NFL's investigating it.
Is it them and the Dolphins right now?
They're way worse than the Dolphins at this point. Here's the thing, though. The NFL's investigating it. If there's anything at all, you know they're gonna hammer the Patriots for it. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I've seen some people on ESPN say that they've talked to sources saying that they definitely had film of the sidelines and the play calls. And some of those ESPN sources were also saying that the guy apparently said, look, if I just erase it, can this all go away? None of that is, that is third hand at this point from what happened. Right. So I don't know. But they trust their sources, and a lot of times they get these things right. This isn't me saying it, right? Like, I don't say, like, hey, I talked to my buddy Billy, who lives down in Lexington, which is near Cincinnati, and he's a Bengals fan. And he tells me, that person doesn't exist. I don't have that friend. But still, they're going to investigate it, and we're going to hear a lot more about this, and it's going to be very interesting. So the only other thing I'll have to say is I've got a whole new appreciation for Penn State fans and how terrible they are as human beings this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in that, like, they didn't get the Rose Bowl. First off, the Badgers won a division championship. Mm-hmm. The Penn State finished well, but not first in their division. We both finished 10-2. The Badgers were 3-1 against ranked teams in the regular season. Penn State was 2-2. Against common teams, the Badgers beat Minnesota. Penn State lost to Minnesota. The Badgers beat Michigan State and Michigan by higher margins than Penn State did, and I guess Penn State had a better margin against Iowa. The Badgers, by all accounts, had the better year, the better record, and were a division champion and get the Rose Bowl for being the second best team in the Big Ten. Penn State fans doing this garbage, like, but you had three losses, it's math, we're the better team. You're like, you morons, we played an extra game.
And two of those losses were to the same team.
It's
also going to the college championship, yes.
So there's this guy, he's fantastic on Twitter, and he's at BigBlue42PSU. Big Bob is his name, but he is not Bob Tanyan. And he's been going on, he's like, look, you're so stupid. They had three losses, we had two. Three's bigger than two. I was like, we were 3-1 against ranked teams, you were 2-2. He's like, you lost twice to Ohio State. I'm like, cool, then we're 3-2, and you're 2-2. Three's bigger than two, that's your own argument, we win. And it's so great. It's like,
and just remember Penn State, that in the end, you're you're still not out of the doghouse yet.
Yeah, and at the end of the day,
it's still fresh.
The worst thing that's happened to Wisconsin football that
people still remember what happened in Penn State. It's right. It doesn't just go away that quick.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that the worst thing that's ever happened to Wisconsin,
Dave Sandusky.
The worst suspension for Wisconsin was they bought shoes at a place that had discount shoes.
Right, and Penn State had a coach. Yeah. Let's not get into
it. No, everybody knows
it happened. It happened, and it killed Joe Paterno.
Yeah.
How about that? That's how bad that was. Does anybody remember how bad that was? That's the reason why, until further notice, Penn State will never get the benefit of the doubt. Because
also the Badgers had the better year.
The end is that if Penn State ever does well, it's going to dig all that stuff up again, and the NCAA doesn't want to have to deal with that.
And their entire argument is
it's going to be, look where Penn State is now. This happened.
And the worst thing is that you go against it like, we have a better record against common opponents. We had, we both played Minnesota. We crushed them. We lost to them. And the only thing they can say back is, but Illinois, you're like, nobody cares. You lost to Minnesota, and we crushed Minnesota. Both of those in Minnesota. And we were a division champion. And also, we played the best game anybody's ever played against Ohio State that second time. And don't give me anything else. Like, the Badgers were the second best team in the Big Ten this year. And Penn State had a nice year. Penn State should have lost 3 or 4 games this year. They got pretty lucky on a couple of home games because they should have lost to Michigan. And Wisconsin was a better team. And, yeah, I get being upset.
Yes.
They're, like, attacking everybody they can. I've gained a whole new level of respect for how bad they are as people.
Yeah, they're terrible. I didn't even know that was going on. Then they're the worst fans ever. I'm sorry. What your school did is worse than everything that USC did under Pete Carroll, wrapped up with all the worst things Florida State did, with all the worst things that Florida did, with all the worst things that Namum did, all into one. And guess what? Your school still did worse.
Also, just on the football field,
you should have gotten the death penalty.
They should have. Michigan State should have gotten the death penalty,
because
too.
You're in the Big Ten, it didn't happen.
Michigan State should have also gotten the death penalty for everything that's gone on with Nasser and all that.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right there with Michigan State. Sorry. You might not be as bad as Michigan State.
Yeah, that seems to have been much larger. But either way. Anything you want to add, Aaron? Anything maybe to bring us up a little bit?
Oh, I'm fired up now. I know I'm going to get on Twitter after this and start fighting Penn State people to tear apart.
Go look for them.
They can't be high and mighty for 20 years. You can't be high and mighty. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sorry your school sucks, but they do. They let things go on.
All right. No, I mean, you're right.
Kids. Yeah. You're as bad as Michigan State without the publicity.
You'll see.
They took down your hero's statue. That's how bad it was.
Yeah.
Pukes. God, not mad.
All right.
Why'd you bring that up, John? Why'd you bring that up? That's depressing.
I didn't bring up the part of the other thing. I'm just saying they're bad for the fact that the Badgers, by the way, just on the field, were the better team.
Penn State is not allowed to talk crap to anybody for anything.
You should just kind of hide out and stay low if you're Penn State.
Hey, your team did okay. All right, we got into a bowl game. Yay, at least we didn't get the death penalty.
That's fantastic.
Jerks. Sorry. That's my final call, John.
Jeez.
How about that?
You can hear Aaron is fired up. Normally, he sounds like a whisper on this podcast. Today he has brought the thundercloud. All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us for another week of the Scunny Johnny podcast. Again, you can follow me at Not So Humble Host on Twitter. You can follow the show at Scunny Johnny Pod, and you can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. And remember, of course, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
Nittany Nimrods.
This has been the Scunny Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter